This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Tomorrow night, the Boston School Committee will vote on a controversial plan by Superintendent Carol Johnson to close 9 schools and merge another 8. The plan is not popular among many parents and teachers, but the school system is facing a $63 million budget gap. And backers of Johnson's school closure plan say the closings would save money by eliminating about a quarter of the 5,600 empty school seats scattered throughout Boston. Mayor Tom Menino has been one of the plan's most important supporters, and at a speech to the Boston Chamber of Commerce this morning, he said the restructuring is critical to student achievement.
I believe it's much better to invest the arts, athletics, and mentoring programs. These are the things that help children learn. Spending money on empty seats does not.
In a few minutes, we'll be getting reaction to Menino's remarks by Richard Stutman, the president of the Boston Teachers Union. But first, WBUR's Kurt Nickisch was at this morning's speech by Menino, and he's here with us now. Hi, Kurt.
Hello, Sasha.
So, Kurt, I definitely want to talk to you about Menino's speech, but I also want to ask you about Menino's health, because I think that's an important issue here, because he hasn't been out in public much since he was in the hospital recently for an infection that he developed from a scrape on his elbow. So how did he look health-wise?
He looked about like the last time you saw him. I mean, he looked great. He joked that he got in a fight with a shower, said he saw the doctor yesterday, and it looked good, and you know, he was wearing a suit jacket today, and I did look at, you know, his left elbow, but there was no bulge there. It wasn't like there was, you know, anything on there. There might have been bandaging underneath, but he looked his normal self.
All right, excellent. So we got the health out of the way. Perfect. So Kurt, it sounds as though the mayor came out pretty strongly behind in support of the superintendent's restructuring plan, and as I mentioned, it's being voted on tomorrow night. Why did Menino wait until now to come out so strongly in support of this plan, and why to a group of business leaders, considering that he was talking to the Chamber of Commerce this morning?
You know, in a way, it was kind of having the last word, right? So this debate has been out there. A lot of people have taken sides. The signs have gone up to save these certain schools. And, you know, he wrote an editorial for the Globe this weekend. But then he, you know, this was sort of his big public appearance to throw his weight behind the plan right before, you know, it goes to a vote. So I think that was it. And the other thing is he's really popular with his business audience. It wasn't like it was a hostile parent or teacher crowd. And so it was his chance to really sort of drum up support for Carol Johnson, the superintendent, you know, of Boston Public Schools, for her school closing plan.
As I talk about some of the reforms we need some of you folks to help Superintendent Johnson. She's been out there, out in the neighborhoods, meeting with different groups. If you live in the neighborhoods of Boston, give her some support, because this is the right thing to do at the right time. We got everything working together. Let's get the reforms we need now.
Yeah, but his real audience, of course, is the school board, which he reminded in his speech that, you know, he appointed them, and he wanted them to make the right decision, not the most popular decision.
Now, if these 9 schools are closed, as Superintendent Johnson's plan would do, in some cases, I believe the school system has said they could just end up selling those schools to charter schools. So did the mayor say, did he address what would happen to all these empty buildings? Would all of them just be consumed by charter schools?
He said, I mean, he didn't say what would happen with them, except to say that they would not be sold to charter schools.
Would not be.
So he cleared that up.
Ah, okay. So that was sort of a misperception about where they may go.
Well, that's something he had to, you sort of felt compelled to address, I guess.
So beyond addressing the more immediate news of the day, which is the closure plan that's voted on tomorrow night by the school committee, he also talked about the ongoing teacher negotiations. What did he say about that?
Well, you know, a lot of the things that he said are things that we've heard. He really reiterated these points, you know, while he had the microphone in front of an influential business and community leader crowd. And so he sort of said his 4 main points for cutting costs and reforming school structure in the Boston Public Schools. Number one was, you know, to give principals and headmasters more power to place teachers or move them into subjects they're qualified to but don't necessarily want to teach, to give them more power to move folks around. He wants merit pay for teachers. That's a, you know, big bone of contention. Couple of other points, too. He also wants less busing, so, you know, smaller zones, which would save the school district a lot of money. He quotes this, you know, $300,000 a day in busing expenses that Boston Public Schools spend now.
So kids going to schools closer to the community, walk to schools.
That's not popular with parents. You have less choice, but it does, you know, as far as, you know, the economics of transporting students goes, it does make a big difference with money. And then finally, the longer school day, which is popular with parents, makes work lives a little bit more manageable. Not as popular with teachers, of course, because for the same pay, they may work longer.
Kurt Nikisch, thank you very much for that. Also in the studio with us is Richard Stutman, the president of the Boston Teachers Union. Mr. Stutman, did you hear anything in Menino's speech this morning that was new to you?
Good afternoon. No, I didn't. We have been discussing many of the issues that the mayor talked about this morning over the course of the last 6 months at the negotiating table.
Now, Menino and Carol Johnson are saying they have no choice but to shut these schools, that the budget gap simply makes it necessary. Do you disagree with that?
Let me say it a little differently. Their choice to close these schools was not educationally based, and therefore I disagree with it. I think it would be foolish of me to say that all schools must always stay open. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that these schools in particular came about in a haphazard way, and obviously unpopular with the parents. And I think part of the reason they're unpopular is people understand intuitively that the decision to close these particular schools was poorly thought out. For example, why was the Clapp spared and the Emerson not spared? And because that is not understood by anybody, because there's no logic to it, people are understandably upset.
So are you saying that it may be necessary to close some schools, but you think the schools that are being targeted are not the right ones?
Well, again, I can't say that in perpetuity it's never feasible to close schools or never necessary. I can't say that, and no one really, I don't believe, can say that. But I think in this case, this decision has been on again, off again. It's gone through three separate iterations in the last 2 months, I think, which is emblematic of the fact that it really wasn't well thought out.
So you don't think it sounds like you don't think the criteria used or the criteria that the school system has said it's used to decide which schools to close.
I don't believe there have been any criteria whatsoever on this. I saw it with Hyde Park High. A school was taken off the list when people pointed out it was the best standing ELL program for high schools in the city. That should have been identified beforehand. It shouldn't have been on the list. I think you could make the same type of argument for closing the Agassiz and not closing it. The Agassiz does very well, has turned itself around in a short span of a year and has undergone tremendous renovation. It seems to me that the entire plan was poorly thought out.
$63 million is the amount of money that the school system says it needs to take out of the budget if it's going to have a balanced budget. How do you think it makes up that money?
Well, first of all, the $63 million is their figure, and I do dispute it. Every year they come in, historically, you could check the last two decades, of coming in with higher or inflated budget gaps that they theoretically have to cut. And then they go through this exchange at the other exchange, and they come back and they say, well, I think we can do it. We got $8 million from the city. I think the $63 million is not real. I think there is a budget gap.
Do you know what number you think is real?
No, I don't have a number that I think is real. But that number comes about because of the school department's projected increase. And that really isn't the subject of public discourse. It's the school department's own numbers. So judging by their numbers, they say $63 million, but there's no way to say that that's accurate or not. They're, I think, making some assumptions in that that I don't think we can defend until we know exactly what those assumptions are.
Have you tallied how many teachers you think will lose jobs if nine schools close, as the plan outlines?
Yes, I don't think any current teachers will lose jobs. I think what this means is they, instead of hiring 500 new teachers a year, which is the norm, they may only hire 200 next year.
So you could close nine schools but not have any current teachers lose jobs?
Well, again, every year there are 500 new teachers hired. Out of 5,000, that's 10% of the workforce. If next year only 200 are hired, in effect, we've lost 300 positions, but that means no one was laid off. These are people who are not yet working for the school system.
So some teachers may be reassigned, but may not lose jobs.
There'll be more teachers reassigned this time than last year, although last year we had quite a few reassigned because of the turnaround schools. And the year before, we had people reassigned because of school closings and mergers. So I do expect this year there will be a few hundred people reassigned, which is you know, another disruption.
As we just heard Kurt Nickisch, WBUR's business and technology reporter here in the studio with us, say, the Mayor Menino also addressed the negotiations, the contract negotiations. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised by anything he said about that?
No. Again, we have been discussing those four items pretty much since April. One of the items we've been discussing for 7 years, that's the issue of ELL teachers. And there was absolutely no reason for the school department to hire 60 additional teachers this year, except to get around this federal court order, this federal agreement, I should say, a voluntary agreement with the Federal Department of Justice on ELL issues that could have been avoided had they negotiated this 7 years ago.
English language learners.
Correct.
Students trying to learn English.
We gave them a proposal 7 years ago that would have solved this. Instead, they procrastinated. The federal government swooped in, and now they have a settlement agreement that forced them to hire 60 people that they didn't really have to hire.
Richard Stutman, thank you very much for that. Kurt Nickisch, you also. Kurt Nickisch is a reporter for WBUR, and Richard Stutman is president of the Boston Teachers Union. Thanks to both of you for coming into the studio. Coming up, a look at how a well-known tourism organization is firing back at Connecticut for slashing its tourism budget. And also, the American Heart Association has issued new guidelines for CPR, and in them, mouth-to-mouth is out. We'll have a doctor from Mass General here to set us straight. And listeners, have you ever performed CPR? Do you know what you're supposed to do? And has mouth-to-mouth ever made you reluctant to do it? Give us a call at 1-800-423-TALK. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.